Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The home team.
And here we go.
All right, rolling into hour number two. It is the home team for a Tuesday in March. We're 1 week. 1 week, I say, from spring football practice. Getting started here in Athens. Time for the 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. And on the subject of spring football practice, Jeff, let's start actually not with Georgia, but let's start with Florida, where the Gators actually are starting spring practice today, which might be why Dan Mullen was popping off last night, talking about stuff he doesn't have any clue about. You're about to join Urban Meyer at the Jerk Store, Dan Mullen, if you don't watch it. But let's take the opposing view of the Gators, a great foe of Georgia's, from our perspective and thinking about that game, which is however many days away, and the end of October down in Jacksonville. What for us the biggest questions we have about Florida entering the second year under Dan Mullen, where they it started rocky. A 3 decades winning streak came to an end against Kentucky. By season's end, they were in the Peach Bowl beating Michigan. So they ended up with 10 wins and had a good season. And they beat Florida State again, too. We were the one rival they couldn't beat.
Right. First time they've beaten FSU since 2012. So it definitely ended strong for them. The recruiting ended on an uptick. Their recruiting for 2020 is looking good. To me, the big question for Florida is still, who is the quarterback going to be? And I think you have to give Dan Mullen credit when you think about the signal callers that he had at Mississippi State and how much Felipe Franks improved from 2017 to 2018. Is it going to be Emory Jones? Could it possibly be somebody else? But to me, that is the big question mark at Florida right now.
I'm guessing it's still going to be Franks, as he did. He was a completely different player than the one we had seen the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the second year under Mullen's wing, like I would think, you know, kind of with the idea of even with, you know, like with Fields coming in here a year ago and the thought of like, is there a quarterback battle? Like, well, no, because Kirby's not going to have a third year in a row with a new quarterback. And I would imagine that Dan Mullen's not going to want to start his second season coming off a win in the Peach Bowl over Michigan and saying, you know what, I'm gonna start all over, though, with a brand new quarterback.
No, I think that's a good point. Then the flip side of that, and Florida, obviously, listen, they're Florida. They're always going to have players. They've got good backs and receivers, so they're going to have an elite guy there. And then, I mean, on that defense, which is very good, very talented, they lost some juice off that front.
Yeah, they're missing some muscle in the front seven. But, you know, Grantham, he'll dial up the aggression. He'll dial that up, especially on third downs. Well, what do you think? Was this shade he was throwing toward Georgia and the Justin Fields recruitment when he said, I think we did a poor job of recruiting if guys were coming in and then immediately walking out the door because it was something different than what they thought it would be and we lied to them during recruiting or we sold them on a dream that wasn't true?
I don't know. Maybe it was. But, again, it's a deal. Quarterbacks in one position where one guy plays. And I don't think anybody, I would say probably including Justin Fields, believed he should have been starting over Jake Fromm.
Well, and also, like, no one, I have no idea what Kirby or any of Georgia's coaches were telling Justin Fields on the recruiting trail last year that got convinced him to end up signing and coming here. Were they blatantly going out there? That's like the suggestion is this thought that Georgia was out there and telling Fields, like, we're gonna design the offense around you. You're gonna come in and play. You're gonna come in and start. I don't know what was being told to him. Maybe they did say that, and he went, you lied to me, and I'm going to Ohio State now. For his part, he hadn't said anything about it either. But nobody knows what was told there, and. You know, but at the end of the day, like, does anyone really have any doubts of who should have been playing quarterback for Georgia last year?
I can't imagine anybody would have any doubts. So that's fine. Let Dan Mullen do the talking. And we'll just keep on doing the walking down in Jacksonville.
Yeah. But just button it up, Cousin Eddie.
But I will tell you, it is nice going down there last year for baseball, and I went down a couple of weeks ago with the Lady Dogs for hoops. It's nice going down there when you win in Jacksonville.
Didn't you attack their mascot last week?
Yes. Yes, I did.
At the SEC tournament?
Yep.
Yeah. And it was the girl one, too, right?
She went up and said, boo, Florida.
Yeah, they've got those two.
Down.
They've got the male gator the female with the red lipstick.
Right. I just want to go, boo, Florida, two thumbs down.
Yeah.
Just had to spice things up a little bit.
Yeah. That poor person in that mascot costume.
Who's this guy in a coat and tie booing me here?
Yeah. Like down in the bowels of the stadium?
No. It was on the main concourse.
Oh, okay.
It was all in, you know, there was a lot of, it was all in good fun. Yeah, it wasn't like an open field tackle like in some of those commercials you see.
Well, no, like what, that happened at the Pro Bowl. Someone did that to the Patriots mascot.
Right.
And like they sent him to the hospital.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a pretty good, Georgia does on game day, they've got a good one for anti-littering where they'll show a couple of guys just walking, and one of them just drops, and Harry Dog comes out of nowhere and just crushes the guy.
Creams him.
Yeah, so yeah, the Florida mascot was walking along, and I just ran and went, boo, Florida, two thumbs down.
Yeah, I think it was Jamal Adams at the Pro Bowl.
Just tackled
who
the
plays
mascot
for the Jets now, and he was like signing autographs or doing an interview, and like the Patriots mascot came walking over, and he went and just like, tackled him.
Oh, it's all in
like
good
you
fun.
Realize there's a human being in that costume.
Well, the greatest ever though was the first time we played Tech at Turner Field, and the famed Georgia fan dressed as Elvis got into fisticuffs with Buzz.
Yeah,
and really beat Buzz up.
Well, I'd heard that Buzz was
he's the worst,
a real life jerk.
He is the worst. That's part of it. And this year, like it's, I just my wife and our SID's wife were sitting on the other side of the floor, and they were beating us in hoops. And I was just sitting there reading my stat sheet, and Buzz just came right up, was as close for me to you, and then like turned and started shaking his tail. Then was just like looking at me.
See, that's like you're doing a job.
I'm working.
Though. Yeah, you're not a fan at the game.
Like, right.
You should be off limits.
Right. I mean, you know, so.
You should have had Buzz arrested.
But I just pulled out some bug spray.
Yeah, or maced it.
We got an incident here.
Yeah.
We got an incident.
Well, to me, like, you should be off limits.
Yeah, but Emily was like, oh, my God, don't go over there and beat up Buzz. I was like, no, it's all right. Yeah, I'm contained.
Yeah. Because, I mean, if you're the broadcaster trying to do your job.
He was just over there. Shaking his stinger.
I mean, Tommy Lasorda used to get into fights
with the
Philly Fanatics.
Yeah.
So it could have been an incident like that. What if you would just come over that table?
Just come over the top.
Yeah.
Excuse me, folks. I'll be back with you in about 10 seconds.
Just pulled your headphones off and went, you know what? I got to do something real fast. And it was just
take it out.
Down.
Take it out, Buzz.
All right, moving on in the 5-5, we'll shift from Florida to Georgia and the Dogs again starting spring practice next week. Let's talk about the running back position, which we did yesterday. And essentially, Georgia might not run the ball this spring because we don't need DeAndre Swift running. Zamir White is coming off an injury. James Cook, we think, might be hobbled. He had some sort of surgery, too, in the offseason. McIntosh isn't here yet.
Right.
Harrion is not really necessary to see him carry the ball in the spring either.
Even Prather Hudson, I think, was having shoulder surgery in the offseason.
But if we fast forward to the fall.
Right.
What is your breakdown for the distribution of carries once the season actually does get here?
Well, I think in the big games, assuming he's 100% healthy, Swift is going to be getting a majority of the touches. And I think Harrion's next. And I think Cook, they'll design some plays for him. And, you know, the X factor is when Zamir is ready. I mean, remember last year I was saying, maybe we're going to unleash him against Tech. Maybe that happens this coming year. I don't know. It just all depends on when he's ready. But he could certainly be an X factor at that position.
For sure. And how about McIntosh?
Yeah, we'll just see how he comes along. And, I mean, I think the thing with McIntosh, he's not a burner, but he's a big, physical, strong back. Chris, you know what I did? I went and looked at some film on him. I did watch him.
Running. You did finally watch
him. Yeah, he looks good. I mean, he's, you know, was he one of the top four or five rated elite five-star backs? No. But the guy was a top 100 national recruit. I mean, he's – we've just gotten – you know, for so long, we kind of went between Robert Edwards and Knowshon without having that special guy. But going back to Gurley and Sony and Nick and Swift, we've really been having those special guys. So we've gotten a little bit spoiled. But McIntosh is a really good back.
Well, a year ago, Holyfield ended up turning into kind of an unexpected star of the offense.
Question.
When we didn't realize at first that Swift was not 100%. As we kept watching him play those first couple of games, we started to assume that there's no way he can be 100% because he doesn't look like the same runner. And then finally it was acknowledged that, yeah, he had been playing with an injury. And then, but to have Holyfield be able to step up the way he did was a huge lift. Hopefully Swift will just be 100% from the get-go. But, you know, if he isn't at the start or if something like that did leave him down, I mean, is there – you know, would Harrion be able to have the same kind of impact that Holyfield had a year ago?
Well, and didn't you think Harrion was our MVP in the Sugar Bowl?
I guess if we were going to name
no,
one.
No, I mean, I thought he played really well. I mean, Harrion's a good back.
Yeah, no.
He started a lot of
places. The guy had took that toss sweep his first game against North Carolina.
He was just a jet.
Yeah, and his story, we signed him in like May or something.
Yeah. No, he's a terrific story. And then, I mean, with Cook, again, I don't know if, you know, if it's a deal if they want him to bulk up some or not. But, I mean, this guy, he's going to touch the ball. And now the big thing, he's got to get good with the ball security. Like, he fumbled against Tech. Like, you can't do that. But even it might have been the UMass game. He had about a 30-yard run. He was going from the west end zone to the east end zone. And you can just see he's got that lean. He's got that balance. I mean, it's almost like his body from the waist up can be at a 45-degree angle, and his feet are still sound and solid. I mean, you can see he's got those natural gifts.
Like, if he's one of those guys, if you come in and try and just, like, tackle him with your shoulder, you're not going to knock him down.
That's
he's going to keep his balance.
That's why I would guess that he would be a candidate to return punts. I mean, I would think he would be really good.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be no shortage of candidates to be able to return punts, return kicks.
For sure.
You know, even with that void that Mecole Hardman leaves.
And he was terrific. Don't get me wrong, but I think Cook's got that wiggle and that shiftiness. You know, the whole thing is just staying healthy. Again, you know, it's one of those things when you look at how the stable of backs was 2 years ago and what it was in 2014 and what it was last year. You know, maybe it's not that good, but there are a lot of teams that, and even with the health of Zamir White in question, there are a lot of teams that would trade what they've got for Swift, Cook, and Harrion.
Well, that was the thing
a lot.
You know, thinking about these upcoming spring practices. I mean, as it turned out, when did Swift get hurt?
I don't know.
Because they ended up where he had surgery or something.
Was it on a groin?
About a year ago.
But you could tell really from the long run he had in the fourth quarter against Florida and then the game against Kentucky.
Well, that touchdown he had against Kentucky, that 20-yarder.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And then the 80 or 85-yarder, it was he's back.
That cut
whoop,
and that change of direction where he's
run.
Not even losing really any speed.
And then against Auburn, he had a 75-yard touchdown run. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but for the first month, it was
he was a different
guy. It was obvious, like, this guy doesn't look like the same player.
No.
And so finally, they admitted, like, yeah, he's been hurt.
And he was really good in the SEC title game, too.
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, leading up to the fake, I mean, when we dumped that ball off to him, and he got, around 20 yards or so to get up near midfield.
Right. So, like, whenever it was that he hurt his groin, and that's, you know, more of the point of, you know, he doesn't need to get a ton of work
no,
in these
no, I mean, he
next
is,
month.
He is elite.
He wants to stay on spring break. I'll give him permission.
Yes, he is beyond elite.
What is it, extended spring break?
That's fine.
He wants to do that.
What are you doing for spring break?
Well, we're currently on it, aren't we? Is it spring break week?
Is it your spring break, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know our young friend Tyler is waking up in the morning to do the morning show.
Oh, that's no fun.
No, I mean, that's how he's spending his spring break. Waking up at like 4:30 in the morning.
That's rough.
Yeah.
At least he lives. He said he lives nearby. It's only like a 5-minute drive.
Right.
But still,
I'm thinking, you know, he's got all his friends are out having fun this week, and he's waking up to do the morning show.
But listen, people are listening to him, and he's becoming a powerful media influencer.
He's enjoying it.
No, the second or third time I did a show with young Tyler, and he said, "Well, I always want to be a professional broadcaster." I go, "Well, are you broadcasting right now?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Are you getting paid?" He said, "Yes."
Well, congratulations. You've made it. Now for spring break, you'll need to get up at 4:30 in the morning and be here.
Yes. Don't be late.
Moving on in the 5 at 5, let's talk, speaking of Elijah Holyfield and Mecole Hardman, post-combine thoughts on the NFL draft, not just for Georgia, but even just big picture. How much movement came out of the combine? Anyone significantly move up in your eyes or move back in your eyes?
I think with the whole deal, Chris, and it always happens with quarterbacks because people fall in love with the position. You look at these mock drafts and, you know, back in October, November, oh, there might not be a quarterback even taken. Well, now all of a sudden – it's Kyler Murray. And like you said, maybe it's smoke, maybe, but Cliff Kingsbury said he wants to take him with the number one pick, and they took Josh Rosen with the 10th or 11th pick, whatever it was last year. So, I mean, Murray to me is just – he's been the game changer in this deal. Another guy who got – did you see Jeffrey Simmons, I think, has a knee injury, so his stock has probably fallen a little bit.
But his teammate, Montez Sweat, moved up.
He moved up. I think, you know, Quinnen Williams probably looks like, I think outside of Devin White, maybe the most sure bet in the draft. So I just think that the rise of Kyler Murray and how that guy wasn't even really on the radar at this point last year. He had never started a game.
I know.
And he was, you know, so, oh, this guy's going to play. I mean, what a dream come true. You play quarterback and then, hey, you're going to be a millionaire baseball player. And now all of a sudden –
he got drafted number 9 overall by Oakland.
Guy won the Heisman Trophy at Oklahoma.
Yeah, and he went to the combine, and they measured him, and he was an inch taller than everyone thought. So I was like, oh, no, we will take you now.
We will take you.
But, you know, I still had those, like, 4,000 passing yards last year and completed 70% of my passes, but that one inch is really going to make all the difference.
It's going to make all the difference. So now you start to wonder, are the Cardinals trying to line up that trade partner? Could it be the Raiders? They've got the 3 first-round picks.
Yeah. Either the Raiders will say, like, we think you're bluffing and we'll stay at 4.
Mm-hmm.
And
because
then I think Oakland will get them.
Because you got Jimmy GQ and the Niners at 2 and Sam Darnold. Right,
the Jets
call him Bradford.
Yeah.
Yeah, at number 3. So it's a rarity where really the top 3 teams are all bad, but they all have – young quarterbacks.
Yeah, except the Cardinals are in this position where they're like, can we pass on Kyler Murray, even though they took Rosen?
So the Kingsbury thing could be, you think about what a disaster this could be. If they stink, okay, and if Kyler Murray turns out to not be that good, if they, say, dealt Rosen to the Raiders and he does great there, those fans will be saying, we hired a coach who got fired by Texas Tech. We had taken a quarterback 10th overall last year, and now we just took another one. We traded that guy. Or, I mean, I just look at him, I think he's a boom-bust guy with Kingsbury. Or it could be if Murray goes in there and just dazzles and is even better than Baker Mayfield was last year, and he wins Rookie of the Year, and they pick up a couple extra picks.
Good or bad, the Cardinals are going to be
– they're interesting.
Oh, it's going to be a blast, whether it fails spectacularly or ends up succeeding somehow.
And here's the thing. If it fails, they could – to go. If they do take him and they trade Rosen and he's not the guy, to take quarterbacks in back-to-back drafts – And then in 2 years, you realize you don't have a quarterback, and especially if the other guy is flourishing somewhere else, I mean, that could put them into a 5 or 6 or 7 year tailspin.
No, in 2 years, they just draft Trevor Lawrence, and then they're gold.
I thought he was going to the Dolphins.
Sounds like the Dolphins are going to end up tanking to get Tua next year. But, like, this is the year the Dolphins are going to be not good, which will probably put them on the clock for next year's draft, and then they'll take Tua, and it'll be, you know, a year too soon.
Now, Lawrence is a generational talent type guy.
Yes, that's the guy you need to be stinking for.
I mean, I love our guy. I wouldn't trade our guy for anybody, including him. But Lawrence is for the pros to be that big, and he's athletic. I mean, 6'6", 240.
Yeah. Lawrence is the guy you need to be all in on in 2 years if you're just a wretched NFL franchise. So Watch the Patriots win one more Super Bowl this year, and then Brady retire. And then they go 0-16, and they end up with Lawrence. And then Belichick is, like, still coaching when he's 100.
The emperor.
Yeah.
So they could pull, like, what happened with the Colts when Manning was.
Yeah, you watch that scenario break down. That'll be good.
Because, I don't see Lawrence in, like, 3 years winding up with the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, God, no.
No.
And he'd end up pulling that stunt, too. Like, I'm not playing for you, so don't bother drafting me.
I'm not going there.
Yeah. That worked for John Elway and Eli Manning.
It did. But, you know, that'd be the thing. What if, you know, if football did the baseball rule where it was like, all right, you're not eligible after 3 years, but if we take you, you could choose to go back to school. Because, you know what I mean, baseball, that's the deal. Like, Josh Fields was a second-round pick by the Braves, came back for his senior year.
Yeah.
We went to the World Series.
Football didn't let you do that.
That'd be a game changer.
Yeah. It'd be a game changer for the Bills because they'd be the team that would draft someone. Like, no, I'm going to go back to Clemson.
Whoa, what just happened here?
You know, they don't pay you there. You don't know that.
You know, I may have accidentally given you some PEDs, but.
Yeah. I like that Dabo said that. It's funny how that didn't really get any coverage either. I mean, Dabo did admit that, like, we think we accidentally gave our players PEDs. Okay.
It's in hair care products.
Yeah. Wait, accidentally.
What?
Sure thing. Because, you know, when you think about it, it's pretty miraculous how they've had a lot of injury good fortune. These guys aren't getting hurt, are they?
And I'm just telling you that Lawrence, who's going to be a first-round pick, who's a terrific player, I mean, the guy looks like he's like 33 years old.
Yeah, he looks like Jeff Spicoli.
Dexter
Lawrence.
Dexter Lawrence, the defensive lineman.
Yes, he's.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. Whoa, that guy's 20, 21.
Yeah, he looks like he's.
Okay.
A grown man.
Yeah, but Spicoli, I mean, he can play.
Yeah, that's who I want, but sounds like they're tanking for Tua next year.
What would you think about that?
Tua's really good, but he's a Bama guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to end up having to root for him in the pros. And also, I would be concerned now that he's a little fragile.
Mm-hmm.
He was banged up. Mississippi State beat him up last year, and then he was not healthy against us. He had to be bailed out by Jalen Hurts.
Golly, that's just that whole scenario just –
I know what's going to happen in the trilogy, the conclusion of the trilogy this December. What's going to happen?
That's unbelievable.
I think the trilogy actually ends. It's the opposite of Star Wars. And what it is, it's the third one is The New Hope. And that New Hope is Jake Fromm.
15-0, baby.
All right. Finally, Jeff, we'll wrap up the 5-5. The Players Championship starts this week. That course is famous for the 17th hole, that treacherous par 3. I was going to ask you, if you could play only one hole, though. One hole, any course. I'm going to give you a club. I'll give you a couple of clubs so you can play the whole hole. I'm going to give you some clubs, a couple tees, a few balls. But if there was one hole, I was going to grant you your magic genie and say you could play it. Can't play the whole course. Only play one hole. What is that hole?
Number 16 at Augusta National.
Okay.
By
a nice par three with the water.
By a nose over number 12.
Ooh, 12 is just so.
It's the most beautiful, picturesque. Next up to that would probably be number seven at Pebble Beach. That's the little short par three.
Why is it all par threes?
Well, I got a chance.
Okay.
The par threes just seem to be more picturesque.
Why are par threes like the real famous?
You think about Nicklaus in 86, and he almost aced the thing.
Yeah.
And Tiger
hit that shot there.
They seem to be more of the boom bust. And then Pebble number eight, that's the hardest second shot in the world. Like, that's where if you, like, really kept score, like, you could put up a huge number there because you got a lot of carry over the Pacific Ocean, and there's no way to really – bun it around.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a spectacular hole. But I would say 16 and 12 would be my top two.
Okay.
At Augusta.
So the 16th hole at Augusta.
A lot of memories from that place.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, the other one with the memories too, another par three, seven at Pebble Beach and 17 at Pebble Beach. That's where Nicklaus hit the stick into a stiff breeze with a one iron in 1972, and it dropped an inch from the hole, and that's where Watson chipped in to beat Nicklaus in 82.
What about the road hole at St. Andrews? Because doesn't that one have the tee shot that you've got to –
You've got the hotel right there. Yeah, 17 is at St. Andrews is great, and then you've got, you know, 18 going right down with the Valley of Sin.
Yeah. But 17's got the hotel, and then the OB is
there. So, some of these guys now, they try and hit it over the hotel. It's like, well, good luck with that.
Yeah, but just to the right of the green, you're out of bounds.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there have been guys who've had balls wind up on the roof. But, yeah, if you were talking, I mean, really anything, amen corner. If you go 11, 12, 13, then 15, 16 at Augusta, 7 – 8, 17, 18 at Pebble Beach, 17 and 18 at St. Andrews. And then if you wanted to go outside of the big three, the three most famed courses, you know, that you see a lot, like Cypress has back-to-back par threes that are breathtaking. But then, I mean, to me, 18 at Sawgrass is the hole there. I think that's just a phenomenal hole.
Like it more than 17?
Yes. With the water down the left side, which, again, I just think that and 18 at Pebble Beach for a left-hander would be the two hardest tee shots in golf.
All right, there's today's five.
Which would you play? Would you do 12 at Augusta?
No, I wouldn't play 12 at Augusta. 16 at Augusta is not a bad answer. That 17 at Sawgrass is overrated.
The road hole's awesome.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm sort of leaning toward the road hole.
And when I got to go, me and my dad went in 95. It was Arnold Palmer's last open. And, like, Watson led after the first round. He had Ben Crenshaw. But that just – when you walk those two holes, it's as beautiful as it is on TV. It's the sight with the hotel, then going in the clubhouse, the road hole, the Valley of Sin.
Yeah, plus you're in Scotland.
Where you finish on 18, if you're walking up to the left is the number one tee box, and they've got those huge grandstands. Those grandstands are literally like right next to the beach of the North Sea.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, if you could walk through those grandstands, like the North Sea is just, it's like 100 yards away.
There's that little burn right in front of the first green.
Right.
Yeah. I think the road hole would be the one I'd play. Try and hit it around that hotel hit it right off of it.
And you know what's so crazy, too, when it looked like Jordan's piece, like he's won the Masters in the U.S. Open. He was leading the British. It's like the road hole and the Valley of Sin got him.
You still got to get those two holes down, up and down. All right, the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.